Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Good day, listeners to the Worcester Reports. My name's Tony Coppell. Lorianne will be on a little later. Long-term listeners and podcast listeners may remember that I interviewed Philip Cook, the principal of the De La Batte School for the Deaf, on the 30th of August last. Today, my guest is Elisma Berlin from the Pioneer School for the Visually Impaired. And yes, Worcester did pioneer special schools for the disabled in South Africa, and we are still in the forefront. I've come to the Pioneer School for the Visually Impaired here in Worcester. And I have to say, when we arrived in Worcester nearly a year ago, this was one of the first organizations that somebody mentioned to us. So I've always wanted to get closer to them. And I'm talking with Elisma Berlin, who is the marketing director. Elisma, welcome to CWCP Radio.
Thank you so much, Tony, and thank you for the opportunity. It's really a privilege.
Let's start with something that confused me when I was first here, because some of our listeners are in different countries. So there is the Pioneer School for the Visually Impaired, and there's the Innovation for the Blind.
Yes.
Just explain them.
Yes, that's correct. The Innovation for the Blind, also previously known as Kaleidoscope, and years back known as the Institute for the Blind, they were mainly our main sponsor for the school. So although they were our main sponsor and they also looked after us for many years, but now we're totally two different entities. The Innovation for the Blind, they look after and the needs of the elderly people with a low vision or with blindness, elderly multi-disabled people. So it's mainly the elderly that they're looking at, and work creation, where we as Pioneer School for the Visually Impaired just look after the children. So children, school-going children from grade R up until the grade 12. So it's two totally different entities. So if people speak about Pioneer School for the Visually Impaired, it's the school itself, and Innovation is mainly elderly people fighting visual impairment.
So let's go back in history, and maybe you can tell us, how did this school come about, and when was it?
Okay, so our school was founded in 1881 already, and it's actually a beautiful story after it was actually originally the Pioneer School for the Blind at that stage, and it was two Dutch Reformed reverends, Reverend Murray and Reverend Rabi, and they coincidentally had two church members who was deafblind. And they were chatting on a horse carriage one day, and he said, well, the only institutional school at that stage was a Catholic institution. And in 1881, it wasn't really proper for a Dutch Reformed member or to go to a Catholic institution or a Catholic school. So what happened, Reverend Rabi and Reverend Murray decided, well, the church then will open its own school for people with, in that days they call it blindness or deaf blind or multi disabilities. And as you will walk through our school, we've got a house Rabi, one of our hostels. We've got a house Murray, one of our hostels. So our school originated from the Dutch Reformed Church, and it's still all the buildings and everything still is owned by the church.
Now, your learners come from what sort of catchment area? Okay. Way outside Worcester, or?
Yes, most of our learners come from the Eastern Cape. We've got learners as far as Tanzania, Namibia, Pretoria, Johannesburg. So a lot of our children come from George PE. We've got about 20% learners living in Worcester. And of that 20%, parents actually moved from different areas in South Africa to Worcester to accommodate their children. They want to have them in hostel.
So that suggests that there are not lots of schools like this across South Africa.
We do have lots of schools. We've got 22 schools for visual impairment in South Africa, but I think we are the best. So that might be why we have a lot of children all across South Africa at our school.
Now, this may sound a little bit economic, but how do you structure your fees? What's the situation there?
Okay. After all, we're still a school. And as I've previously mentioned, our buildings, they're not owned by the Department of Education, but from the church. So our main struggle is maintaining our buildings, our hostels. And our first priority will always be our children, our learners. So all of the money that we get, often all of the money, but a huge sum of the money that will always go to our learners to keep them in school, to keep them in the hostels, to cater for their social well-being, their spiritual and their educational. So it differs where the problem is, but will definitely go to maintaining our school, the buildings, and school fees and hostel fees.
How many learners do you have currently in the school?
Currently, we've got 125 learners in our school, and 45 of the learners are in our multi-disabled unit that we have. So they've got an own special curriculum that they follow, but currently 125 learners. And the listeners must just remember, for each visually impaired child, you can times that by 5 to a normal learner in a mainstream school. So in our classes, we've got children with visual impairment, we've got a child that's completely blind, and we've got about 5 or 6 children per class with a teacher, times 5 for each child. So it's roughly your normal mainstream school class.
And you're teaching them all the regular subjects.
Yes, we use the exact same curriculum as any mainstream school from grade R up and grade 7, from higher levels from where the subject changes from grade 9. We do have limited subjects. We've only got the mathematical, not the higher grade maths, because of the structure of the teacher versus learner. We cannot afford 17 odd teachers for 2 or 3 children that's got one to that subject. So we're very proud of Pioneer School learners that's going into mainstream schools. We've also got Yin Chang she was a learner at Pioneer School, and she's now been accepted to Worcester Gymnasium, and she's doing extremely well. So, yes, we've got exactly the same subjects, bit of settings that need to be done, especially with the maths. And then our books are much, much larger. A normal, say, for instance, geography book that's got 1 volume, where we will have about 4 volumes of the same book.
So would I be right if I infer from what you're saying that one of your goals is to help children move to regular schools?
I wouldn't say it's one of our goals, but it's definitely the most important thing for a child living with visual impairment or living with blindness is independence. So that's the most important thing. We want to create an environment for them to feel safe in, where they can grow, and I believe our school creates that safe environment for them where they can really work on their self-esteem. And we want them to be independent. We want them to get work in a building that's not, because not any of all our public transport or our workplaces are actually equipped for people with visual impairment. So they need to go out to the real world, be mums, be fathers, get work and live a normal life as possible with their disability.
Now, we live in a town which is surrounded by townships, people living in very difficult circumstances. Mm-hmm. Do you cater for those children?
Yes, definitely. Most of our children, they do come from rural and disadvantaged areas, which are huge, on our school, because we do not get funding from the government, a lot of funding from the government. And our parents, most, as I mentioned, most of our parents come from disadvantaged areas. They do not have the financial support to support these children. So we are hugely, we need sponsors for these children to keep them in school. We can't, and we're not as any other school, if a child gets accepted to our school through various processes, we cannot say, listen here, your school fees aren't paid up, please leave the school. Mm. We will never do that. We cannot do that, because where does that child go to? Mm. So we do cater for all across the board. It's just a matter of fact, to be accepted to our school for certain criteria that you need to get into our school. So we are in tremendous need of financial support towards school fees, hostel fees, clothing, even toiletries. It's basic stuff that we need assistance with, and we are so fortunate to have exceptionally good companies across South Africa that support our children, that we do have sponsors for full sponsorships, and luckily our community in Worcester is also fabulous, the schools, the businesses, who really supports us with sponsorship, with toiletries. We've had school drives that really come aboard and assist us.
If you had a child from Roodeval, it's a bit of a long walk to here. Mm. Could they be living in here in the school, or would they have to be brought?
No, we do have children in close proximity in Worcester that stays in rural areas. Then they would be, they need to come to the hostel. Otherwise, the parents or the guardians need to make a plan. For instance, we've got a child here that lives in the Doerans, and each and every day he comes with a taxi. And he's one of our students that would never be out of school, because there's no... So the onus is also not just on the school, but the guardian or the parent also must get that responsibility to keep the child in school. But otherwise, if it's get accepted to hostel, we do have learners that also in a close proximity that stays in hostel.
In this part of Worcester, we often see visually impaired children, usually being led by one of the teachers, and I see them in pick and pay, and clearly they're being given a sort of life experience, and I've seen that often, and I always feel good when I see that.
Yeah.
So I think the people of Worcester are very happy to be able to offer that. But now I'd like you to talk a little bit about the actual skills that you give them. Because they're visually impaired, obviously Braille and things like that. Give me a run over the various skills that you're teaching.
Okay, so the only part that makes us different from any other mainstream school is that we have Braille, and then we've got an orientation mobility program. Orientation mobility is essential for each and every child to learn, because they need to be, as I previously said, need to be not supportive of anything around them. They need to be independent. So orientation mobility, those children that you see walking or being led by teachers with or without a cane, that's actually the tip of the iceberg when they go out of our school grounds. We've got a excellent support service at our school. We've got an occupational therapist, we've got a speech therapist, we've got a registered nurse, and we've got an occupational therapist and psychologist, as I mentioned. So Braille is the medium that our children read and write. Just as a sighted child needs to know how to have his pencil right in the right position, we teach our children Braille. That's the medium that they read and write in. They need to have that background, because if you lose sight or you perhaps go eventually blind, you will still need to have the base of Braille to read and write. And then orientation and mobility, we've got two excellent teachers here. It's Melanie Smith and Albrecht Swartz. I think there's about five in South Africa, or seven in South Africa, and two of them are at our school. And they actually teach our children different tracking techniques, and to use their other senses is essential. So they teach them in school how to get from their hostel to the class without using any cane or any assistance. And they make use of a curriculum, an international curriculum, especially with tracking techniques. And it differs from child to child what their ability is. So if one child perhaps use a clicking sound like this, and they will know it's the density of a wall or it's an open space. So it's an echo sound that they make, and they pick up on that. And other child will use a tracking technique with his feet. They know it's the grass and it's the paving area, and they know exactly the road where they're walking. So because of our visually impaired, children can't see, for instance, how do you swing? Or our sighted child can know, mommy does the dishes, that's how we do it, or that's how you hold a knife and fork. Our occupational therapists actually teach these children how to use their bodies from a very small age, how to swing. If you tell a child with visual impairment, sit up straight, they've got no idea what a sit up straight means. So they haven't seen it before. So we learn them those life skills. We learn them how to make coffee, how to make your own sandwich. And it's a long process, but eventually we get there.
You didn't mention anything about guide dogs.
It's guide dogs are only permitted when you're out of school, and you must also make an appointment with the Guide Dog Association. You're not allowed to have guide dogs when you're a minor. Only when you go out of school, and then you must also apply for a guide dog. Not everyone, apparently there's a waiting list for quite some time. But in school, when you walk around the premises, and I urge people to please come and visit us, make an appointment, you will not even see children with canes. It's a map that they draw in their heads, and they know exactly where they're going.
I'm talking here to Elisma Berlin, who's the marketing director at the Pioneer School for the Visually Impaired. And I don't know about you, but I'm learning a lot from Elisma. The next thing I want to ask you is, do you teach them spiritual disciplines, or do you teach them about faith?
Yes, definitely. We've got a Bible period each and every day in class, but it's still the parent or the guardian or the child's own free will, if they want to commit in it, if they want to be in the class, not to be in the class, but it's definitely freely available at our school. Our assembly and our are led by prayer and song, but it's each and everyone's free will if they want to participate or not. And as I mentioned, also our support service, our psychologists, our occupational therapists, our registered nurses are really there in emotional, spiritual, and teaching way for all the children, and it's openly to their advantages and service if they need to have any more further teaching.
Let's move on to you and your responsibilities. Mm-hmm. You're the marketing manager. Tell me what that consists of.
Okay, I'm basically just the instrument to really spread the word and to make people aware of our school. My responsibilities involve looking for donations, sponsorships, really, really for our children. It's nothing to do. We don't want to be gold dusted. As the listeners have heard, we really need our financial support to keep our children in school. Most of our children do not pay school fees or are discounted. So my responsibilities include getting donations and sponsorship, if it's of businesses, individual people, also getting people to our school to do some tours through our school. We've got a beautiful multi-sensory garden that opened on the end of August. So if people want to come and visit. Yeah, as I mentioned, I'm actually just the instrument to spread the word and make people aware all over South Africa. If you have a child with visual impairment, or if you know of someone, and they, even if it's a baby or just born, just come make an appointment, visit our school. We can actually give you tips on the development of children going forward. What is the milestones that you want to achieve? So it's not just people enrolled in school or children enrolled in school, but we even have people that's babies just perhaps got cancer and then the eyes are removed. What is the next step? Where are you going to?
Why do you do this work, Elisma?
I would almost say, who wouldn't? Why not? it's really so fulfilling, and I'm so thankful and blessed, because even it's really in a work situation that you make a difference. Even if it's a small difference. We've got our matric farewell tonight, and if it's a small difference, letting the girls feel beautifully, let their hair done and nails done, but it's really a fulfilling, fulfilling work environment and job. I wouldn't change it for the world.
You told us earlier that you have learners here internationally, and I'm getting the impression that this school really excels. Tell us some of the things that you feel the school is particularly good at.
I think just the fact that we are 137 years old is an excellent achievement in itself. We have delivered SA athletes, Olympic swimmers like Henry Haps come from our school, and also the famous motivational speaker Hein Wagner, that's world-renowned, was also an old learner from our school. And I think just the fact that our old learners excel and become successful business women and men speak for itself. That actually that keeps us going. And just to see it from the circumstances that they come from and what they need to go through, what they do in the normal world, it just speaks for itself.
If somebody left a big donation in their will and they died and it came to you, what do you feel would be the most pressing things that that money could be spent on?
Well, usually the financial committee of our team will decide where the need is at that stage. But it will definitely, definitely always be in the goodwill of our children. If, for instance, like what sadly happened earlier this year to the deaf school, if a hostel perhaps burned down, that money would definitely go to funding for that. So the financial committee will decide, but it will always be in the interest of our children.
Do you have support, financial support from the government? I think you've already answered this, but
we do get support from the government, but it's a very, very small percentage that we do get from the Department of Education. Our main income at this stage is from sponsorship donations. As I mentioned, half of our school children don't pay any fees, any hostel fees, and that would need to be, we can't write it off. Parents apply for discount, and then they get it or do not get it, but those other, the 50% that we do not have any income from need to be, we need to fill that gap. But we do get from the government, but not as we wish we would.
Elisma, through this medium of radio, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank every member of your staff who may get to hear this for their skills, their passion, their dedication, and I'm sure their love. Thank you for talking to me today.
Thank you, Tony. I really appreciate the opportunity. And thank you to all the listeners. I hope you stream in for visits to our school.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in transition, learning our identity and purpose. My name is Laurie Ann, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During our last broadcast, we discovered that thankfulness and gratitude are key to managing suffering. This helps us in natural ways, but it also gives us the opportunity for God to work supernaturally in our lives in the midst of difficulty. Jesus suffered for us by dying on a cross. He is no stranger to pain. He endured because of the joy that waited for him, that of rescuing us. He didn't bemoan his situation. When we refuse to practice negativity in the midst of difficulties, our hearts become ready to receive help. This isn't just any help,
but the supernatural help to get through situations that are near impossible. God gives us His grace, and in the midst of it, that grace can even bring joy. Then we can put our brokenness under God's blessing and be a blessing to others. So difficulties can be transformed into something very special. There is another kind of season that can be difficult for people, that of transition. Desert or wilderness life experiences are one form of transition, but these are often gradual change. I've spoken about the desert and windy seasons, yet sometimes circumstances can happen quickly, almost like a tornado. In fact, Ottawa, where we're from, had 6 tornadoes in the past couple of months. And I wait to see the plans that God has for Ottawa, because usually when a place has had tornadoes, there's also changes in the spirit as well. But that's a whole other topic. As I said, sometimes circumstances can happen quickly. You can be accelerated into the next season of your life before you have a chance to catch up. So you learn to reorient yourself. You might have vertigo just getting through the day. Other transitions feel like being stuck in a season of hiddenness that seems to go on and on. But this is only what you might feel, because you can't see the end of your situation yet. Yet in the midst of this change, there are these constant things. These are the faithfulness and love of God, and that you are deeply loved. We are not orphans. We are not rejected or abandoned. Now is the time to seek God even more. He is calling us to our identity as beloved children of God. We don't have to work for an inheritance. It is already ours. I used to be a performance-driven people pleaser. I got to be very good at gauging people's moods and anticipating their needs. Some people call this codependency, but deep down inside, I had a deep insecurity. I needed love. I had a huge love deficit. I gave love, but somehow I expected to earn showers of love towards me. Even my own love had conditions on it. I wanted those I cared about to feel the same about me. Sometimes they did, but many times they did not. But the love of God is unconditional. We don't have to earn it. I remember a pivotal time in my life happened quietly in a small mobile church in Thornhill, Ontario. Our pastor handed out small business cards and told us, "This card shows you the highest calling you will ever have." What did it say on the card? The card said simply, "Child of God." I remember holding this card in my hands. My mind said, "What is this? It's too simple. That's not enough. Who am I really? I'm this and this and this." But I didn't have that foundation of love in my heart that showed how secure I was as a daughter, as God's child. My heart ached, and I cried and cried. I don't remember receiving ministry, but I must have. I needed to grow in my identity as a child of God. Our deepest needs, significance, and security. Larry Crabb is a Christian counselor and pastor. He was one of the writers that we read in my Tyndale Seminary counseling courses in the late 1990s. I remember he wrote about the two deepest human needs. These needs are significance and security. At that time in my life, I had a security deficit. I tried to fill it with accomplishments I was achieving on the significance side of life. After I married my husband Tony, he became a significant part of healing my security deficit. Yet it was really God who completely filled that huge sinkhole. Tony was only one of the people that was used to love on me. God healed me directly by continuing to fill me with His love and through the love of my husband and friends. After my insecurity issues were dealt with, I went through another difficult season when I discovered I also had a significance deficit. How strange that I should have a deficit in something that I always felt was a full cup. When I was in school, I filled that need with my academic pursuits, even though these were not enough. It's always lovely to have a sense of accomplishment when you do something well. This is a natural need, and it is a good one. However, significance is even deeper than that. When I married Tony, I was sidelined away from a ministry career for a time. So the deficit became even more obvious. I felt like I was stuck in the desert with no way out of it. God began to refine that area of my life. In time, I came to lean less on fulfilling tasks as a way to receive significance. Again, my deepest significance is also fulfilled in actively being a child of God. All the core of the significance need is to know that you matter, and what you do matters. This significance need was again challenged when I lost my radio job and was unemployed for 3 years. I became a ministry volunteer for that time gap. 2 degrees, 10 short-term mission trips, radio shows, and lay ministry experience are all wonderful things. Yet these roles don't replace who you are in Christ. You are a son or a daughter, secure in his love for you. You are not a slave that works for a master. You are a child who inherits. This is all part of your security need. Since you are an inheritor, you also have a role to represent the Father. That is your purpose and your significance. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, fills you with what you need to do, whatever you are to do, for Him. This can include areas where you're naturally gifted, or it may include areas where it's not your natural strength at all. I never thought that I would be working with children, but it's something that God has put on our hearts to do. When you learn to surrender and fully trust His leading in your life, your significance is confirmed over and over as He works through you. Your highest significance is as God's child, and each child has at least one unique ministry. Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6 teaches us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. When you spend time acknowledging God, He gives you your unique assignment. He also gives you all the necessary grace you need to accomplish it. God provides the path that is unique for each of us. He prepares us in advance for whatever work that you are called to do. He utilizes all our skills, talents, and gifts to work together in a perfect blend. Phil Dooley of Hillsong South Africa recently spoke on God using our uniqueness to be heroes in our everyday lives. He specifically shared that we need to embrace our uniqueness, life purpose, gifts, and assignment. Your unique you-ness is to fulfill a specific purpose. You forfeit this if you copy someone else. He also shared that each Bible character was different from each other, and that we initially learn by copying others, but we become great by being uniquely us. God makes us uniquely us. He gives us the power and love to jump deeply into more of who we are meant to be. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 2 verse 10 that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Sometimes the grace to do that looks different in each season. It depends on the assignment that God will give us. When we do these works, they bring deep satisfaction. This can happen if it's monetized as part of our careers. This can also be part of our natural helping roles, or even when they are a supernatural ministry gift. God uses all our gifts if we give them to Him. And then He gives us more just when we need it. I asked Tony recently if he's happy. This question didn't surprise him, since I have asked him this question every once in a while since we were married. Yet this time, he knew that this was about our time in South Africa. I was asking him if he felt fulfilled in what we were doing in our ministry. He said yes, that he is deeply contented and satisfied. For the most part, I feel the same, although there is more to come. We have another 2 years here in South Africa, but we have a lot more journeying after that. I've come to learn that all of life is a journey. This includes all of what we do. Why rush it to get to the end? We're enjoying the journey moments. While God is there in the past and the future, He is very much with us in the now. There will never be another now. Enjoy your now. The future will unfold without you worrying about it. This was my issue. I was always worrying about the future or looking forward to the future and ignoring the present. That's not a place to go. So what is God asking you to be? Unless you know who you really are, you'll never reach your full potential. You were called to fullness and success. But it is the Father who imparts your identity and purpose. It took you time to grow up physically from babyhood to adulthood. It also takes time to grow up spiritually. And in this process and season of there but not yet, it really is all about trust. As you trust God, He will give you tasks to do and many wonderful surprises along the way. Open your eyes and look for them. He will not disappoint. Take time with Him. Let Him love you. Allow Him access into the secret areas of your heart and give Him all your plans. He will reshape all your life in a way that is uniquely beautiful. He did this for me when I initially applied for IRIS Harvest School in Mozambique back in January 2015. The leaders believed the timing was wrong for me to take the school that year, but this time of waiting was a necessary step to prepare my heart. I was at Catch the Fire Toronto's revival conference and prayed to be shown what God would have for me to do. One friend told me that I was needed very much in an Ottawa church right then, and it's true, I was, even in the many volunteer roles that I had then had. Later, I would also be needed to take care of my parents, so I surrendered the timing of everything to God. I was shown that Jesus was pleased that I had taken a step of surrendering all my careers, jobs, and ministries to him. He showed me a vision of him breathing life into my three dead careers and that he would weave them together. He took the strands of each and wove something that was unique and beautiful. These included art, radio, and ministry. And so here in South Africa, Jesus is using me in those areas and adding more. When I was on my second mission trip, which was in Northern Ireland, I discovered the music of Robin Mark. His song All for Jesus was instrumental in the complete surrender that opened up healing of my insecurity. I entered into a desert season for a while, particularly most of the time that I was in seminary. But it was a necessary time of refining, needed to deepen my trust in God. This happened again after I married Tony. I had to surrender all the areas of significance and ministry because my ministry expectations changed. I thought I was going to go to Northern Ireland, and that didn't happen. This brought me to another desert, and again, it was essential to take out the thorns in my heart. This refining was necessary to deepen my trust in another way. I am not the same person that I was when I first journeyed to Northern Ireland in 1995. For this, I am very thankful. I am also not the same person I was when Tony and I took Harvest School in 2016. I was warned by my Ottawa pastor, Sean, that this school and the season that came after it would be for me a time of refining, shredding, and shedding of things and attitudes that weren't godly in my life. But I was to stick with it so that I would become like a smooth stone in God's slingshot. Just like David used five smooth stones to take out Goliath, so God would use me if I was refined of rough edges. In other words, it's about aerodynamics. God could put me in his slingshot and I would strike true because my imperfections wouldn't get in the way. But I had to submit and surrender. While I was in that process, I was to remember to fix my focus forward so that I would not forfeit what the Father had for me. Once again, Jesus refined my sense of significance and my security, and that he is the very core of both of these needs. My identity is in him. Here are some of the significant words of my favorite Robin Mark song, All for Jesus. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. All of my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender these into your hands. For it's only in your will that I am free. It is only in your will that I am free. May this song impact you and be as special in your life as it has been to me. Another song that is helpful is Bethel Music's song, Shepherd, which we'll hear shortly. As we continue to walk our journey with Jesus, we'll sing Amanda Cook's lyrics from Shepherd. In the process, in the waiting, you're making melodies over me, and your presence is a promise, for I am a pilgrim on a journey. Lord, I ask you to help our hearts learn who we really are in you. Help us to learn that we really are sons and daughters in you. Fill us deeply in all our security needs and give us an assignment that gives us deep satisfaction. Yet let that task not become our identity. Let it just be part of what we do for you. And if our season is to rest and wait, give us the patience and deep trust to wait and receive. Please show us your faithfulness as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Koppel's Western Cape Radio. We'll be right back.
melodies over me. and your presence is the promise. For I am a pilgrim on a journey, and you will. We'll be right back.
take my hand and lead me on.
You heard a rare original version of Robin Mark's All for Jesus and Bethel Music's Shepherd. Last Sunday, we visited Hillsong in Somerset West. We do like to go there, but it's the first time for 5 months that we've been able to make it. In addition to greatly enjoying the teaching by Phil Dooley and the music, we came away with the first Hillsong album in Afrikaans, Naam Bo Elke Naam. Here are two songs from it, Ansko My Siel Sal Sing, and Sal Ek Uk, which actually includes the words in 4 official African languages. See if you can name them. Thank you for being with us, either live or on the podcast. You bless us. This is Tony signing off until next Thursday with the next edition of The Worcester Reports on CWCP Radio.
Go defader on die mysterie wat in oorvloed vir ons gee, soos diep na diep te roep, oor hoe diep is sy verlange. Die aardse staan langs ons, soos een kaarsdag teen die zon. Onfeilbare vader, wat kan met die liefde vergelijk. Ons kan sy eigen ziel, siel kan sy verloser. Terwille van die mens was sy verlater, verlossing is in sy bloed. Jesus Messias, uit liefde sy lewe neergeleg. Einde van die dag.
don't say I'll survive for bread. Sing new way all divorce but if you stay, I Marcus lead say through. On Scotty, on Scott, so on size to
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life.
Can be more love. Is it giddy giddy sentan? Yes, easy as a law. Go pick from low, I go in me, Savaya boom, Benka. Minka, yes, easy to me, son, I'm good job. Who vest the time, don't I go? Zinkanyezes butanyo nupawo lo musa. Umina lo kitu misa na goja.
Me, my gejaag deur al my mislukking en trots. Hierdie lig van die wêreld op 'n heuwel geskep om alleen in die donker te staan. Guess we lack hope. Is it possible? Is it possible? Zanyamala. Umame obako ubomu zeni pile kuwe. Walishi aituna uze nande zendale. Diboni kizi oya.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.